Today on Rocket Pop, it's a special episode where we're talking about the Disney dilemma. Can the magic return? We're not reviewing just one movie this time. We're pulling back to look at the big picture, how Disney went from being the trusted name in family entertainment to something parents aren't always so sure about anymore. We'll talk about where Disney started, when it was great, when it was still good, and how things started to change, and what's behind this big shift. Where's the entertainment brand now, and where's it possibly headed? Most importantly, can parents still trust Disney? And how should families think about and navigate Disney content today? Hop aboard Space Mountain today as we blast off into the wonderful world of Disney.
Rocket Pop is go.
Welcome to Rocket Pop Reviews, giving Christian families a reliable source for reviews of movies, shows, books, and podcasts.
Every four computers now have primary control of critical vehicle functions.
We're serious about the fun of entertainment.
Nice to be in
orbit. Roger, 0G, and I feel fine.
And now your hosts, Steve Manuel and Jeff Davenport.
Steve, we're talking about one of the biggest brands in the world, definitely, I would say, the biggest known brand in entertainment, Disney. And it's so funny to me to even say that word, Disney. We're saying a man's last name.
Right.
This is the vision of a man
from right.
a long time ago. And
right.
yet it's almost untethered from an individual. It's just this monolith, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, you and I are both so interested in Walt Disney, the man. What he did with his life, which is unthinkable. What he kept doing was he would put it all on black. Then he would get enough. Well, that was successful. Let's put it all on black again. And he kept doing this and having these levels of success until he built this movie production studio with a full animation studio, et cetera. And we think of it as this conglomerate, huge thing, but there's so much heart built into who he was, into the advent of Disneyland, et cetera. Those are the things that really resonate with us. I think we've spent so much time on his history that when we look at the Disney properties that are being rolled out these days, we kind of go, what is this Frankenstein? And can we ever get back to where we started? I guess that's our main concern, right?
Yeah, I agree. Well, so if you don't know much about Walt Disney was this guy from the Midwest. He was obviously a very gifted illustrator and animator, and he started drawing cartoons right at the advent of animated things. And so he started creating these characters, Oswald the Rabbit, and then eventually Mickey Mouse. And it's his story is just one of these, like, you can't draw a lot of lessons from it. Because if you were to go, okay, a talented person with a lot of gumption really tried hard. Okay, how many of those are there in the world? A billion of those. Somehow the tumblers fell into place for this guy. And not only did he have all those things going, he was just an honestly good guy. Overall, this was just a good man who had these really, and his goodness, though, back in the 1930s, 1940s, was not unusual. He had Midwestern values that today might seem very unusual, but at the time, no, that's just how men operated. We're good people who try to do the right thing. And that's what he tried to do. And things started just moving along. Mickey Mouse took off. And soon he found himself on the cusp of what became this giant empire. And he decided, okay, we've got Disney Animation. They were churning out lots and lots of these shorts. If you don't know this, what they used to do when you go see a movie, they would put cartoons at the beginning along with newsreels. And he was producing some of these cartoons that were the most popular. Everyone loved these characters. So pretty soon he was sitting on a good pile of money. He had a bunch of great animators. And he said, going to your point about let's put it all on black, let's make the first full length feature animated movie.
Unheard of, unthought of.
Unthought of. And everyone said, great idea. What a wonderful way to lose everything that you've already
yeah,
put together.
That's right.
This is the smartest bad decision you've ever made. So in 1937, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs came out and could not have been a bigger hit. Was so miraculous, unbelievable, blew everything out of the water. Suddenly, the Disney studio was off and running, producing animated movie after animated movie. It went to Pinocchio, Cinderella, Peter Pan, Lady and the Tramp, just kept growing and growing. And so these animated, every time there was a new Disney animated movie, it was an event. This was a massive event, not just for children, but for adults. And Disney, his mindset was always, look, I'm making movies for kids, but not just young people. I'm making movies for adults and the kid inside of them. Nice little philosophy. There's something pure and good in all of us, and I want to appeal to that. Then they started to transition as well. Not transition, but they were doing animated. And then he started feathering in live action movies that all had the Disney brand on it. Treasure Island, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, Swiss Family Robinson. Yep. And then the mother of them all, the musical mother of them all. You know what it is?
Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins, practically perfect in every way.
Mary Poppins, 1964. This thing broke all sorts of grounds. You've got Julie Andrews. You've got these songs by the Sherman Brothers. You've got a mix of animation along the way. Just couldn't have been a bigger hit. So Disney's taking off. And then Walt Disney died. Walt Disney died in 1966. This guy was
selfish when you think of what could have happened to the company. Could he have made another 20 years of movies? And he leaves. He leaves the scene.
He quit Earth and died. And this, it's hard to overstate what we could call him a control freak, or we could call him someone who just had a clear vision on everything. He had a clear vision on the movies. He had a clear vision on building Disneyland. He had a clear vision on what Disney World would turn out to be in Florida. He had a clear vision of Epcot. There's a whole episode we could do about what Epcot was originally going to be. This is such an overused term. Like, he is the sui generis of this term, a visionary. This man was a visionary. And anything that didn't line up with his vision, thank you, but we're going to stick with my vision. Yeah. So from 1930, just in terms of the feature films, from 1937 till his death in 1966, he oversaw these things. He was way in on all of these things. And then he died. And there was a vacuum of leadership. There was all sorts of fights over who was going to lead, his brother, also a nephew. It just became a mess. And once that happened, the Disney film started to... And you get movies, real forgettable movies like The Aristocats. Robin Hood, which was, some people have a soft spot in their heart for Robin Hood, not a huge hit. The Rescuers, and then it goes even further downhill with the live action movies, including The Black Hole, which they put a lot of dough into as this sci-fi kind of Star Wars-y type of thing.
Yep.
The Cat from Outer Space.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Condor Man, the Herbie sequels, an animated movie called The Black Cauldron in 1985 was a total disaster. So Disney Studios fell on this incredibly terrible, hard time. If you're interested in the story of Disney, Stephen and I have watched this together. It's one of my favorite documentaries, but it's a documentary called Waking Sleeping Beauty. And it's about what happened in the late 80s for Disney Studios to change and to go, we are losing, like, we are getting our lunch eaten by other animated things, by other studios. The old family brand is gone and dead. And a bunch of decisions were made. And in 1989, The Little Mermaid came out. And The Little Mermaid was just immediately celebrated as a return of Disney in terms of quality. It was this princess story with these wonderful songs. They brought in these amazing songwriters. Suddenly everything changed for Disney, and Disney was back on the map. I remember in 1989, I worked at Lowe's Movie Theater in the summer, and I remember so many people going to see The Little Mermaid. It was an event, because finally, the last thing before that was, I think, The Rescuers Down Under or something like, I mean, just some nonsense. I think that came after, but Disney wasn't doing anything good. 1991, Beauty and the Beast comes out, and whatever Little Mermaid had done, Beauty and the Beast blew it away in terms of craft, in terms of storytelling. This was the first feature film nominated for an Oscar. From there, you get Aladdin, The Lion King. I mean, they go on this run that has been unseen, but was unseen before, really unseen since. And just an amazing time for Disney. And then towards the end of the 90s, they're fat cats. Like, they're sitting on everything. Everything starts to fall off again. They're losing their magic again. And so Disney goes into acquisition mode and they buy up Pixar. Pixar is this studio that seems to be doing what Disney used to do. Toy Story, Finding Nemo, Up. These are really old-fashioned Disney stories, and this other studio is doing it. So Disney buys up Pixar and absorbs them. Disney ended up in 2009 buying Marvel, in 2012 buying Lucasfilm, and then 2013, Frozen comes out. It sort of seems to be like a return to form. And then over the last decade or so, Disney hasn't done as many big animated films. The Pixar movies keep coming out, but they've really leveraged these live-action remakes. Alice in Wonderland, Cinderella, live-action Beauty and the Beast, live-action Little Mermaid, all those kinds of things. So that brings us up to where that's sort of the history of Disney. It's been rocky. It's been up and down. It's been high highs, super low lows, high highs. And right now we're at this weird spot with Disney. And the weird spot with Disney and what makes it relevant for Rocket Pop is Disney used to be this really trusted brand for families. It would be easy for a family to go, new Disney movie's out, let's go see it.
Correct.
New Disney animated thing. We know we're going to get some affirmation of the values that most families hold dear. And so they were able to show up at the movies and feel affirmed by that. That has changed. You agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking when you're going through that list, thank you for that very helpful history. Even if we go all the way back to Sleeping Beauty, Snow White, what we were seeing in those days is that he was finding ancient stories from even other cultures and going, here's a myth that is about, what is it about? It's about the rescue of a young woman by a man coming in, and she finds her place in his future home. Okay. So that's quite an old story. Disney was tapping into the myths that Joseph Campbell talks about. And John Eldredge talks about this in his books, that what a man needs is a princess to rescue and a dragon to slay. That's what those stories were. And they were in the context of a traditional family coming together, or a young woman who wants to be married, et cetera. Even you and I know the backstory for Mary Poppins was Mary Poppins is the main character, but the story is about the redemption of the father of Mr. Banks and how he changes because of her along the story in the movie. These themes are so resonant with anybody that cares about their family or the future, that there was that trust built in. And then they start doing, you know, the computer who wore tennis shoes. You're kind of going like, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know what to do with Escape from Space Mountain, a story about teens. Mm-hmm. And it didn't touch on those, you know, deep, deep themes. And so what's happening now is they've just going into, you know, how do we turn a buck? Where's magic? If it's about magic, well, then let's just do some movies about magic. Let's do Descendants. It's about famous people that built-in brands instead. And there's nothing that's trustworthy anymore to, like, I don't know what they're going to say about this topic. It's not going to be these ancient truths anymore. They just want a little razzle dazzle. And as you say, parents feel anymore, I don't know that I can trust it. And I don't know if you're going to go here, but I just have to throw in that with the recent spate of movies, whether it's Soul, whether it's Inside Out that we've talked about, we've reviewed here at Rocket Pop before, these movies get into the very nature of what it means to be a person, how our soul works, how our emotions work, what does it look like on the other side of life? You know, look at Coco and even Encanto and like, whoa, hold on. I wasn't asking Disney to evaluate the spiritual part of life or what eternity is. I just wanted you guys to talk about honesty and true love, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, there's a lot of confusion, I think, for families anymore when it comes to Disney.
There was a time where Walt Disney's values, at least we'll say character values. I don't think anybody ever counted on going to see a Disney movie and going, now there's a representative of the gospel. That clearly.
Sure.
But there was an appreciation and an affirmation of the values that most people held dear. And he was in line. It wasn't even a question. It was like, yeah, these things are in line. This guy is going to rescue. And so she can come in and this good thing can happen. Treasure Island. This boy's he's going to work hard to try to fight the bad guys. And there's going to, you know, entertainment value for sure. But there was still this affirmation of these strong morals. Disney over time, like a lot of companies, they've trimmed their sails to the winds of the day.
Sure.
And so what is the culture saying right now? So in the last few years, Disney has gone the way of the progressive and said, gosh, what can we work in here? Because it sounds like the culture really is interested in this and the culture might want this. A couple of things here. Number one, any company has human beings in it. Those human beings are always going to try to, Disney did this himself, are always going to try to infuse the products of the company with their moral values, with their moral system. They will always do that. Sure. And I don't fault anyone for that. I would do that in a company. Anyone does that in a company. When Walt Disney was doing it, that was a really good thing. As we go on in time, obviously these companies are full of creative people. A lot of creative people, not all, have these progressive bends. And so they're pushing in these progressive messages that are very against the core things that we hold as powerful, true, and ancient.
Right.
Their idea is, no, we need to progress past those things and move on. And so while they've been doing that, that's really where the Disney brand has come into like, I'm not sure if I can totally trust this. There's a couple of mechanisms at work here, and this is just capitalism. The companies are pushing this thing from inside that they also kind of think that outside wants. And they're going to do that as much as they can until it costs them.
Right.
And once it costs them, they change their minds. Disney right now is in a course correction mode. They have watched as Lightyear, what should have been a massive hit.
Of course.
A sequel.
I was so excited that it was happening. I was so excited to see the trailer, and then watching the trailer, I thought, oh no.
It was set up as the backstory of Buzz Lightyear. This is going to be cool. It was a known bomb because of how progressive it was. There's a same-sex marriage in there. The star of the movie in the in his junkets would bad talk anybody who would have a problem with this. Those people are dinosaurs.
Did that ever happen again for a different Disney movie, Jeff?
It sure did. There was another movie called Strange Worlds, and with Strange Worlds, that movie tanked because they were pushing all of these things.
Yes.
Again, I want everybody to kind of picture there's two forces that are working to balance each other out. Companies will push, if there are these progressive elements inside, will push those things. It's up to the public to vote with, I mean, it's an old cliche, you vote with your dollars.
Right.
And if you go, well, it's a Disney, it'll be fine. You're voting. You're yes. voting something there. And these companies, they're listening. They're watching the money come in.
Oh,
and
yes.
If the money's not coming in, thankfully, we live in a world where that actually causes them to change their decisions. So a good for instance of this, the Disney Plus, Pixar, they had Pixar create a series that's about a softball team. And I can't remember, it's based off of some IP property, IP. And in the story, there was this transgender character. And they were very proud of this and all the creatives got very upset when they heard that character was cut from the show. And Bob Iger, who runs Disney, I assume it was his decision. I think he's a fairly progressive fellow, but he's also a realist.
Right.
And he's going, sorry, we as a company are beholden, not to you people animators, we are beholden to our stockholders. There are massive stockholder meetings. Yep. We are there to make a buck for them. And anything that is your idea, I might agree with your idea. If it's not helping the stock, we have to cut that. And so they cut that storyline from that series.
And now what's happened to their latest release, Jeff?
What is their latest release?
It's the live action Snow White. Just came out.
Yeah, this one is a complicated one. There are a number of, it's not as simple as the headlines would lead you to believe, which is, well, it got real progressive and so nobody went to see it. I actually don't think that's fully the case. In fact, studies have shown that it did poorly. It did poorer in progressive areas than it did in more conservative areas. One of the big problems, a couple of things that happened with this movie was you could just flat out say people saw the trailer and found it unappealing. There are these weird CGI dwarfs that everybody who saw the trailer said, that's weird, I don't want to see that. Mm-hmm. There was stuff that the star said that was political. Both stars said things that were political on other ends of the spectrum that caused some people to go, Disney more and more. Go ahead.
Well, like Buzz Lightyear, what happened specifically, regardless of your moral stance on anything this Snow White said into the press, was the fact that she was actively stomping on the grave of Disney properties, these historical Disney properties. I know you're just like me, Jeff. You see the minivans drive through your town that say, I'm a lifetime member of Disney World. And like, there's, guess what? Americans value the history of Disney. Yeah, they like these old movies. They show Mary Poppins to their kids. These things matter to us. This girl comes out and wants to mock the 1937 Snow White. I was thinking when you mentioned Snow White, you and I have been to the Disney Animation Museum outside of San Francisco and seen the Oscar that they made specifically because it's got Oscar and then seven little Oscars behind it for the Seven Dwarfs. Anyhow, to have someone actively stomping on the history of the company in public is not a good look, and immediately made people who would have wanted to see this Disney movie think she's our enemy. Mm-hmm. We don't. She doesn't believe in the things that we believe in. Sorry.
This is, Disney got, I think, fairly frustrated all around with this. And so this whole mess, what it caused is it caused, you can read lots of articles about this, Disney as a company went, we're paring way back on the marketing of this. And so they did not market this movie like they did with the Little Mermaid remake. So they pulled way back on marketing, which ultimately, basically what it said was, we don't believe in this movie.
Right.
And so that's one of the reasons it didn't do very well. Not only were the reviews not very good, but what they call the cinema score, which is how people rate the movie, the audience rates the movie. That was also, I think it was like a B+, which was the lowest that had been on one of these live action remakes. It's basically I would not tell someone to go see this movie.
Yeah.
So this movie had a lot going on problem wise. And it's one of these that they say it did as bad as the worst of the other Disney remakes, which was Dumbo, this really dark, weird thing that Tim Burton.
Oh yeah.
So this thing's now irrelevant and gone.
And what do we think that they're learning behind the scenes? What do you think that they're thinking?
They're thinking, one, if you are acting in a Disney movie, you shut your mouth. You go on these junkets, anyone tries to poke at you, try to get you to say something political. I'm here to talk about this movie and I love this. Like this girl came out acting. I mean, it's the modern thing. I should be able to say what I want. No, you're an employee. Some people got very frustrated at her. She had said this very hyper aggressive political stance. And all these people said, you don't understand. 90% of a movie is a bunch of blue collar guys. They're made by blue collar guys carrying lights.
Right.
their livelihood depends on these movies doing well.
Right.
This could have been a $1 billion movie.
Yeah.
It netted about $30 million this first week. That's a bomb.
Yeah.
So, but I should be able to say what I want. No. By the way, just a lesson to anybody out there, you work for a company, you can't say what you want.
Yeah. Right.
Especially if you're in the public eye. So that's right. Lesson number one. Lesson number two, our fan base, and there is a massive Disney fan base. I mean, there's a rabid Disney fan base.
Of course.
We have to be gentle with them and kind to them. And they're the people who show up at the parks.
Of course.
So I think they've learned a lot of lessons. I want us to switch now to what in this day and age do we do with Disney? So I'll say this. I'll say my perspective, my family's perspective. We were some hand-wringing when Disney Plus came out. Like, do we subscribe to that? Are we just feeding a machine that's turning into an ugly thing? And I was kind of back and forth. Like, I don't know if I feel good about that. And where eventually landed was, look, there's a lot of good stuff on here. We're going to opt in on this. But they know the streaming numbers. Disney knows the streaming numbers. And I can vote on what my family says we want more of this by what we tune into. They know. And there is a trove of things. And by the way, I'm not saying, so every one of you should surprise. No, if you're like, I'm not subscribing to that, please stick with your guns on that.
Sure.
But for my family and I, you can look through our history and go, that's a lot of old stuff. That's a lot of that ancient stuff. You're darn right it is. Yes, we're watching 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Right.
Yes, we're watching Swiss Family Robinson. Oh, they watched Mary Poppins again. Yes, we're watching these old things because I want to, A, we love these. These are great, well-told stories that affirm true truths that we know in our hearts. But also, I'm letting Disney know, hey, this new weirdo thing you made, we're not even watching the trailer for that thing. We like the classics. I mean, this is the very notion of I hate to say this, but like a conservative mindset is saying there are old things that are true that we're not moving off of. And last thing, Disney, if you were to make something new and beautiful and flashy and awesome, but it held on to these old things, I'd be in
we're
on
ready.
That too.
Yeah, we're ready.
That's we why love Pixar was fun. Yes.
We love Toy Story. There's a lot of values in there that we want repeated among our children. We don't like Strange World. We're not going to watch that. You know, we're like you, Jeff. There is a kind of a magic line about 1975, and everything before that is under glass. It's hallowed. That's 101 Dalmatians. Don't complain about that because that's a golden movie. That's a yes. And those will always be precious. It's like Norman Rockwell, baseball, Americana. Yes. Don't insult those things. But Disney has moved into the arena now of they're like 20th Century Fox. When a 20th Century Fox movie comes out, you don't go, oh, a 20th Century Fox movie. It's just another studio movie. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to evaluate it on its own merits. And we're going to have to decide whether that's something we can see anymore. We didn't used to have to do that with Disney, and now we do. So if they could get to a place where we could trust, oh, they've had 5 really good movies in a row, I think we can trust, be excited for the next thing, even if we don't know anything about the story, et cetera. But we're kind of in a wait and see mode with them now. Everything's negotiable.
Yeah. And we haven't even touched on, I mean, Disney nowadays is also Marvel and Star Wars. I mean, these are massive things that we haven't even come close to touching. But I think we could say, definitely with Star Wars, to some degree with Marvel, we're under the same suspicion. There was a time where a new Star Wars movie, we're going to feel good about this in general. Now, I'm not sure about this. What values are they trying to promote? It just feels like I don't know what I'm going to get anymore.
Jeff, one of the things I like about being in touch with you is that you're always aware of scripts that are under development. You know about production deals. Is there anything coming up that's on the horizon of Disney that you think this might be something that's good? We might can look forward to this.
Not that I know of. I know they're doubling down on Frozen. So you're going to see, like, I think a couple of Frozens coming out. they make a lot, Snow White to the contrary, they make a lot of money off of live action remakes. And so there's a live action remake of Moana coming out. I'm not saying I'm excited about that. I'm just saying that's the kind of thing that they're going towards. So do I know? I don't know much.
I just have to throw into this conversation. One, okay, they can make live action remakes. We already know the story. We already like it. We know it's going to be a win. It's a lazy move that just generates money out of zero creativity, except that, you know, I guess an animator is making it happen. We didn't even touch on how a Disney princess has evolved over the decades. And that we now have, I think they refer to Moana as a Disney princess. And there's no, I mean, there's nothing there. I mean, we could go back 20 years and see the goals and aspirations of these princesses, what they think of as success in life versus a failure, their fears, et cetera, just a world apart from the first 15, 20 years of the Disney princess, which wasn't even a thing. This is a marketing ploy that was invented like 10 years ago. Oh, the Disney princess. Well, there are also Disney heroes, but that I don't guess that sells as many t-shirts.
I'll give you three data points that says they want to, they feel embarrassed by the princess thing, and yet they also want to make money off of it. I'll try to put these in order. Number one, I believe, was when they rebooted Star Wars in The Force Awakens. They changed Princess Leia to General Leia. And even at the very first scene, someone's referring to her as General. And this old man says, she'll always be a princess to me, or something like that. That there was this move away from that there, which is funny because she's maybe the most active woman in, you know, cinema history.
Why would you walk away from that?
Like, yeah. Second, when they remade Beauty and the Beast or did the live action movie, which I love Beauty and the Beast. I could do a whole episode about Beauty and the Beast and the gospel message that's in Beauty and the Beast. I hate the live action remake.
Whoa.
And Emma Watson, who stars in it, very upset about the princess thing. And the rumor was she put this line in where someone calls Belle a princess. She goes, I'm not a princess. She says this in the movie. And then even in Moana, as Moana has, you know, taken on princesshood. I think in Moana 2, my girls were telling me the other day that she says something in a song, something like, I'm not a princess. There's crazy. This like trying to move away from it, which I guess if you think, well, princess equals this passive, docile woman who's just
right, fine.
But go through all of these movies that are princess movies. These are very active women who are going after something good. And yes, often a man comes along and helps them achieve what they're wanting to achieve. If we as believers say, look at the scriptures and it says, God is a husband who comes to love his bride, the church.
Sounds good.
Any of these movies where you're seeing something that reflects that, something in your heart should go, yes.
That's the dream.
How Jesus is. This is where we will eventually all end up seeing God this way. And so why not tap into that now?
Yeah. All right.
Great. Well, Disney, they've had a long history, some great stuff. My kind of leave with you is you can have some hope, but who knows? Are we really hoping in humans? Probably not. In the meantime, this is the biggest advice I have is if you happen to have Disney Plus or access to old Disney stuff, go find some old stuff. There is just some hidden gold in there that is so fun, so affirming. Yeah, it may be a little slower than the modern stuff, but the values are really strong and you're going to find some things that are very, very enjoyable. Disney, they have had some real magic in the past. Try to find that magic. Enjoy it because it speaks to something very, very deep.
3, 2, 1, 0. Thanks for listening to Rocket Pop Reviews. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share with your friends. See you next time for another family-friendly review.